In the name of Jesus, who is Lord of every authority. Amen. The year is 740 BC. Political unrest is all around. Assyria is stirring in the north. God's people are beginning to worry. For about 200 years or more, God's people had kind of been left alone by the powers in the region around them. Egypt to the south hadn't quite been as strong as it once was. Assyria to the north and Babylon to the east were worried with their own problems. And Israel right there, between all three of them, was being left alone. And in the midst of that vacuum, God's people, you remember, had asked for a king. And so Saul had arisen up, then David and Solomon, and they had consolidated power, thinking, hey, while there's a little bit of downtime with these empires, maybe we can get a foothold. And so they tried their darndest. They rallied the people together, they united a kingdom, and they tried to hold political power and grow wealth and prestige and status in the region. But in the midst of this vacuum, their own political games bit them in the back. After Solomon died, a civil war tore them directly in half. Then they were a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And those two kingdoms then had infighting, assassination attempts, and successes, battling amongst themselves. Who is going to be the king of each kingdom, north and south, Israel and Judah? And for 200 years, this infighting, this battle amongst God's people to be in charge, waged on. But now in 740 BC, Assyria is starting to rise and point their eyes to the south, wanting this key political land of Israel. Panic begins to set in amongst God's people. In the north, they immediately try to buy off the Assyrians, give them money and taxes and say, hey, we serve you. Take our money. And in the south, a little more protected by the buffer of the north, their king, Uzziah, of 50 years, dies. And there's a political vacuum in the south. It is into this great political unrest that Isaiah is given a great vision from the Lord. In the midst of all these nations and empires, even his own nation battling for a foothold, Isaiah sees something different. Heaven is ripped open for Isaiah. And Isaiah sees that there is one on the throne. It is Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He alone is sitting on a throne, and there's power and glory unlike any of the human empires and nations around them. Trembling before this great power, unlike Assyria, Babylon, Egypt, or Israel, in the midst of this great power, Isaiah sees himself as nothing. He sees his people as nothing. Trembling before the word of the Lord that is now coming to him through this vision, Isaiah hears the voice of the Lord say, I need a messenger. Who will I send as a messenger of my word? Isaiah says, I'll go. Send me. I want to work for this kind of king. Not for the madness of our political world. I will work and serve you. Great, says the Lord. I've got a message for you, Isaiah. I've got a task for you. Go out to the people of Israel in particular, and I want you to blind their eyes. I want you to make their ears deaf. I want you to harden their hearts so that they don't listen, so that they don't see, so that they don't change their ways. and turn back to me. What? Isaiah's likely thinking, this is not the job I was thinking I was going to have. Okay, Lord, how long are you thinking I'm going to have to do this horrible task? And the Lord responds, Isaiah, you're going to blind them, you're going to deafen them and harden their hearts so they don't get it until their cities are completely destroyed, until their houses are abandoned, until the fields are empty, until this people has been completely ripped off of their land and taken into slavery in a foreign land. Then, Isaiah, with their cities destroyed, their houses abandoned, and them in slavery in a foreign land, then we can begin to preach a different message. But until then, blind them, deafen them, harden their hearts. And even if there's just a little remnant left after that, we're going to keep preaching it until it's down to the stump. Because the stump is going to be the restart. The stump is going to be the new life for this people. Israel had never, over this time period, been walking in God's will and desires. Israel had gone astray very profoundly from that moment when they asked to get into the political games of the world around them. When they said, give us a human king so we can be like the nations of the world, so we can go to war like them. And when David had wanted to build that temple for the Lord had not wanted it. But he said, fine, David, chase this dream of yours, but no, it's not my dream. And so they went after their human rulers, thinking they could get a piece of the political pie. They built the temple thinking God would be in a box, forced to serve them. The whole direction of Israel's life for hundreds of years was completely and fundamentally misdirected. This is why Isaiah's task is so difficult, so horrible sounding. Because God doesn't want these people playing their political games, having a human ruler with their temple, thinking, oh, we can just tweak things a little bit. We can change a little bit here, a little bit over here, and then we'll be good with God. No. The whole thing needs to come crashing down. No more kings. No more temple. This game you've been playing must completely go. They needed a fundamental restart from the scratch. Adjustments weren't gonna work. Tweaking wasn't going to work. A complete teardown was the only way. A new foundation needed to be put in place. Jesus quotes this passage of Isaiah 6 as he begins his own preaching ministry. As he is preaching parables, he preaches and quotes Isaiah 6. Paul, in Acts, following in the footsteps of Jesus, does the same thing. His final words to the people of Israel as he's preaching in Rome, is a quotation of Isaiah 6. Jesus and Paul and Christian preaching takes up the mantle of Isaiah 6. Jesus knew that his preaching of the truth of God's kingdom was going to create deep resistance. In fact, he wanted it to create resistance. He wanted his preaching of God's kingdom to deafen the ears of the people, to blind their eyes, to harden their hearts, so that they would scoff at him and God. And Paul continued this preaching because Jesus saw that just like Isaiah saw, they needed a complete restart. Adjustments is not what Jesus came into the world to give. He did not come in to tweak lives. He came in for a teardown. But then from the teardown, from the stump, from the ashes, a rebuild. A rebuild according to God's design, not to human ambitions and endeavors. This word of Isaiah 6 is so challenging. It's so hard for us to see the life of Jesus, to hear his preaching, and think he is coming in to tear the old down. We think of Jesus in such kind and cute kind of ways. This gentleman, he wouldn't do something like that. He just wants me to be comfortable. But the scriptural message couldn't be any more opposed to that popular notion. God's work, his good work in our lives, starts with complete demolition. The cities need to be laid waste. The temples that we've trusted in, torn down. The kings and rulers that we trusted in need to be dead and gone. We need to be ripped out of our comfort zones and thrown into uncomfortable slavery. And there, after the demolition, the hope. The hope that God's going to fundamentally restart our lives, the lives of this world, and build it into something fundamentally different and more beautiful and better. And it's good for us to focus our eyes on the rebuild. But you can't skip to the rebuild. Israel needed to be demolished. God knew it was for their good. And so as this Advent, as we prepare our lives for the coming of the truth of God through Jesus, we too need to let the uneasiness of Isaiah 6 resonate through our lives. God's first good work in our lives is demolition. God wants to tear you down for your good. As Hebrews 12 says, God disciplines his children. It's never fun in the moment. But those who understand that their good father is doing this work will accept it eventually. And in the long run, they will rejoice and thank him for tearing down our idols, the false senses of security and safety that we tried to build for ourselves. Tear it down. Because then God could start it afresh. No adjustments, no tweaking, a rebuild. Completely new, in God's way, not our way, his way. So open your hearts, or harden your hearts. God's word, his truth, is coming. and it will do to you what is best. It may drive you away from him for a while, but that's okay. He will persist. And when you've bottomed out, when you have nothing left to turn to and trust, he'll be there, embracing you, rebuilding you, turning you into something more beautiful than you could have ever imagined. May we embrace God's work this Advent, tearing us down, because he knows what we should look like. Amen.